the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast, Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. We have Jerome Clark and Phyllis Galdi. And for both of you, I have a question here from one of our regulars in the forums at forum.theparacast.com, Burnt State. First joined in 2012, so he's been a busy bee. Okay, it says here, the History of Fate magazine has included some very interesting debunkings of major paranormal tales. In your opinion, what has been the most important debunking featured in Fate over the years and why? Jerry?
Well, probably the Bermuda Triangle. Fate actually ran one of the very first Bermuda Triangle articles in 1950-1951 and paid a lot of attention before it became a national fad in the early 1970s. But Fate did publish an article by Larry Cush, who was the major debunker of the Bermuda Triangle, showing that allegedly mysterious disappearances kind of evaporated under investigation. One reason that we ran debunking articles was, first of all, we wanted the truth as near as it could be determined to be exposed. But we also knew that even if readers, at least some readers, didn't want to read about something that wasn't true, that it basically reassured the readership that we cared about whether what we published was credible or not. So at one point, we were publishing, like, you know, maybe as much as one debunking article a month and just kind of, you know, clearing the bar. I'm proud of that. I think we did a good job.
Phyllis, do you have any examples?
Well, one of this is before my time about the Philadelphia experiment.
Oh, yes. You've got to tell our listeners a little bit about the background of the Philadelphia experiment, because we have some listeners who haven't heard this.
Well, I think Mr. Clark would be better qualified for that.
Jerry?
Yeah, this whole thing started with some letters that Morris K. Jessup, who was an early 1950s UFO writer, authored several books. In fact, the first books that actually used UFO in the title, because it was a new phrase then.
The but case for the UFO and the expanding case for the UFO.
Right. The UFO Annual and UFO in the Bible. There were four of them.
And it was a big thing or a big to-do because supposedly he took his own life.
Well, he did take his own life. He got very depressed. His career wasn't going anywhere. He was running out of money. And he had a very rough time of it. And he killed himself on April 20th, 1959. Wow. But in 1955, he got these letters from some guy who signed his name Carlos Allende. And they were just largely incoherent. And part of this was a marked-up copy of a paperback of Mitt Jessup's book, The Case of the UFO. And it hinted at all kinds of esoteric knowledge that Allende and several other people, apparently gypsies, knew all kinds of secrets about UFOs and other things. And it was all quite cryptic. And anyway, the story developed out of there and eventually became the subject of books and movies and a lot of excitement that there had been this one of the things that Allende claimed was there had been this experiment in the Philadelphia Naval Yard in 1943, I believe, where a ship and its crew had been rendered invisible and all concerned had gone mad.
They actually did a couple of movies about this.
Right. And actually, one of them was pretty good. At least the one that I saw that was just done as a science fiction drama was actually quite an entertaining movie. But anyway, a Fate reader named Bob Gorman, who's still associated with the magazine, living in little town Pennsylvania, discovered that his neighbors, whom he had known all his life, were the parents of a guy named Carl Allen. And Carl Allen was this kind of drifter, and he was a nut, and he kind of, maybe I should say, suffered from mental problems. That's a kind of way to put it. But he kind of shifted in and out of reality, and he told stories. And it turned out that Carlos Allende was really Carl Allen, and Carl Allen was responsible for these letters and these stories about the Philadelphia experiment. Allen died a few years ago, and some people still persist in believing that he was a mysterious figure, but actually he was just sort of a tragic character who dreamed and wandered. So anyway, Fate ran an article about that, and that was, I think, one of our really important debunkings.
Now, I remember that the Philadelphia experiment generated loads of articles. Charles Berlitz did a book about it. He made a whole mysticism about the so-called, quote-unquote, annotated version of the case for the UFO and all that. And the thing maybe you can explain to me, someone actually reprinted the annotated version of the book for some kind of military agency or something?
Yeah, the Office of Naval Research.
Why?
Well, that's never been entirely clear. There were several individuals in the Office of Naval Research who got interested in it. They were looking for fresh thinking about gravity and propulsion. And they were willing to look almost anywhere to see, you know, including what we would think of ordinarily as crank literature, to see if somebody had stumbled on something. And somebody there got really intrigued by this story about the annotated case for the UFO and saw to it that a formally printed version of the annotations was made available in a very small printing. And I think that to some people, you know, this gave the story credibility, that might be one reason the story survived, apart from just some crank letters that a UFO author had received, that the ONR, the Office of Naval Research, actually seemed to have taken this seriously. But it really didn't amount to much when it was examined and the responsible individuals interviewed many years ago. But it did give it some ostensible credibility, at least for a while.
In passing, this is the sort of thing that seems to happen in a lot of fields, and that is something gets debunked, but it's never debunked, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
And certainly this, the annotated edition of the case for the UFO. Oh, well. All right. Burnt State wants to give you the flip side of the question. So, okay, Phyllis and Jerry, on the flip side, what would you say is the most important and critical paranormal or esoteric story exposing an alternate reality that has been featured in the magazine over the years?
You want to take that one, Phyllis?
Oh, my God. Well, hey, I haven't even got to respond on the and the debunking stuff yet.
Let's have you do that, and then we'll go back to this one.
Yeah, okay. First of all, debunking, well, of course, Fate debunked the movie and TV version of the Amityville Horror and the book version. So we were probably unpopular for that. I mean, you know, they just took that and ran and went crazy with embellishing the story, which really, really didn't quite happen like, was it Blatty, Peter Blatty? Told about it. So we did the Amityville Horror, debunked that, and the phone psychics, we called out people like the Miss Cleo stuff. We warned people about you can't believe all the psychics, 900 lines. And remember Star Baby, that we debunked the skeptics, so to speak, because they don't believe in anything paranormal. And I'm sure Jerry remembers the time when that was written.
I remember that vividly. I was the guy in charge of that at the Fate Office.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I spent a lot of, I worked almost full time on that for several months.
Now, going back to Amityville Horror, I want to ask you there. Okay, obviously when you make a movie, you don't expect a movie to represent more than a rough approximation of something that, even if it's based on truth, unless it's an historical drama. So we're going to have to wrap up this segment in a moment, Phyllis, but can you tell us what about the Amityville Horror? And a lot of our listeners have probably seen the movie. And I think they did a remake, too. What about it was completely different?
It was
different?
Just embellished. I actually met the son of the people who lived there. You know, how it was told and what came down really were different things. Of course, that's Hollywood. I guess we're used to that now. They take a tiny bit of a story, and then just like The Exorcist, too, they made that way more than what actually happened.
We'll have more than what you might expect. More than what might have actually happened, I don't know. Phyllis Galdi of Fate, Jerome Clark, joining us. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237. Extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can give us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast, Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. Phyllis Galdi, editor-publisher of Fates, with us. Jerome Clark joins us. Let's go back to the second part of the question from Burnt State, and I'll read that. On the flip side, what would you say is the most important and critical paranormal or esoteric story exposing an alternate reality that has been featured in the magazine over the years? Jerry Clark?
Well, I don't really think that question is answerable. It demands a definition of evidence, persuasiveness, documentation that can't be answered in a really kind of sweeping way. What you get mostly with anomalies in the paranormal. That's what I call memory and testimony. You don't get physical evidence very often. You don't get the kinds of evidence we require. For example, if I claim that it was an unknown squirrel living in my backyard, I think that I could eventually document that, even short of having to kill the animal, which I wouldn't want to do. But with paranormal and anomalous experience, you're really dealing with things that are vividly perceived by an individual and are genuinely anomalous and unexplained experiences, but that by their nature, they're not provable. They exist only, as I said earlier, in memory and testimony. And so, yes, you can have this experience, and you can be sincere, and you can be sane. In fact, that describes hundreds of millions of people over the history of humanity. You've had extraordinary experiences, but you can't prove it. And so we try to put into a category of, yes, it happened, or no, it didn't happen. What if there's some third character, in some third characteristic between those? And that's where so much of this happens. You know, I have myself saw, as I've told on the show before, a phantom quadruped in my front lawn on three separate occasions. And I can't prove it. I can remember it. I believe I'm sane. I know I'm sincere. But I can't prove it. So much of faith's content was people's experiences of things that were very real to them that didn't appear to be hoaxes or hallucinations in any ordinarily understood definition, were very puzzling to them, stayed with them because they couldn't make sense of them. But in the end, were just memory and testimony. Now, you know, you can deal with things like, you know, there's a few UFO cases that rise above that and leave open the question of extraterrestrial visitation and somebody else's technology. But most experiences of the extraordinary are just that. You can't, there don't seem to be events. They don't seem to be illusions. They're just something with the characteristics of both of them.
Well, this kind of forms something we asked about before, but this is the third question. I think part of this has been answered already, but I'll bring it up because we can expand on your response, Jerry. Fate has featured a wide-ranging set of stories that include both the improbable and very possible. What for you is the driving philosophy behind the magazine to be informative or to be entertaining? How important is fact confirmation in this publication? Jerry first?
Well, as I said earlier in this conversation, it was what we as Fate Editors try to do was to get people to sign affidavits. If they mentioned somebody else who was there when it happened, we would contact that person and ask him or her to affirm that it happened or provide an affidavit. And, you know, we did some fact-checking. I think that overwhelmingly Fate contributors were describing sincerely things that they had seen or experienced. And if we found out that we'd been lied to, I remember several particular cases where we found out that we'd been bamboozled, and we ran prominent retractions explaining why the story wasn't true and how we had found out that it wasn't true. Now, I don't think it's a question of whether something is informative or entertaining. Those are not mutually exclusive categories. I mean, we're entertained all the time by things that are also inform us.
Now, something like this here, when you find something is false, obviously you'll expose it. I get the sense, though, that in large part because we're talking about things that people experience, if someone seems real, seems sincere, the story seems to have an air of fact to it. At least it seems to be somebody honestly trying to express what happened to them. That's as far as you can go, right?
I think so. I think the problem we have when we're dealing with these things is that we're set in this kind of binary thinking. Something is or it isn't. And we're dealing with things that are kind of like, that have something of the quality of dreams and something of the quality of real things that we encounter in quotidian reality. The problem we have with this is that we just don't have the imagination to conceive of the really, really fantastic nature of these things, because it just defies our intuitive understanding of how things work. For example, we assume that events and experiences are synonymous. What if they're not? What if there are things that are experiences and genuinely puzzling experiences that aren't events? And I think we have to think like that when we're dealing with, like, the ghostly quadruped that appeared in my front lawn. Even I, who have spent my whole life studying these things, reading about them, talking to people, interviewing people, it took me weeks before I could accept that I had seen something extraordinary. We're just socially programmed not to deal with these things or to laugh at people who claim otherwise.
Do you think, then, and maybe, Phyllis, you can add your comments to this, do you think, then, that a lot of people who read Fate magazine use it to validate their own experiences? They pick up the magazine, they see, oh, somebody else had this happen, too. Phyllis?
Sure. I would like to comment on, you know, best paranormal thing. I think the heart and soul of Fate magazine are the true mystic experiences and my proof of survival. Stories about people who have had extraordinary experiences, have seen things, and have communicated with people after they have died. And I really believe that's why Fate has existed as long as it has, is the big thing, life after death. We want assurance we're not, when we die, we're not just going to disappear in a puff of dust, and that's it, that the soul lives on. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of stories that are similar in the content. The details are vastly different, but the content is different. I'd like to quickly share one of my stories. My partner, my life partner, David Godwin, who was the managing editor, and he was really the brains of Fate. I'm the mouth, and he was the scholar and brilliant and actually put the magazine together. He unexpectedly and surprisingly died. We lived together, and I went in to check his bedroom and tell him to turn his light off because we had a guest sleeping in the living room, a girlfriend, and he was dead. He was lying in sitting in his rocking chair, and boom, he was gone. It just, like, shouldn't have happened. I was just absolutely horrified and shocked and in a bad state for about a year.
We'll continue this story about the death of Phyllis Scaldi's partner, her companion, and what happened after that. Chris O'Brien's on special assignment. We have Jerome Clark, Phyllis Scaldi. You're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved Fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new Fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new Fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter Fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Jerome Clark and Phyllis Galdi joining us. And Phyllis, who's editor-publisher of Fate, was reporting about how she discovered that her partner, her life partner, had died suddenly. How old was he when this happened?
72, about.
Oh, that's not old anymore.
No. His mom lived to 97. He was supposed to live forever, too, because the longevity, his aunt was like over 100. So, yeah, it was a total shock. Be that as it may, it was a horrible experience. At the next morning, the dogs still have to go for their walk, right? You know, they have to have their constitutional. So I took them out in the woods where we have this path, and I kept hearing the word Salima. Salima, Salima. Of course, that's Aleister Crowley's system of magic. And I thought, what the heck? So I came back to the house and was messing around on the computer because David had everything, all the information on his computer. Well, it turned out Salima was the password to get onto his email. So he communicated that to me. You know, he kept saying it over and over in my head. It was like a broken record. And interesting, and I guess I'm less of a skeptic than Jerry is. Jerry is very pragmatic, and I'm more of an experiential person. I've had a lot of really strange experiences, and I grew up to be a skeptical farm girl. So when I have an experience, I pay attention to it. But anyway, David, via a medium, is just said that he wants to document life after death, and that's really what the magazine was about. So he is continuing to communicate with me and directly and also through a really wonderful medium here in the Twin Cities, and he's open for any questions, and he will answer them from his level of understanding in the spirit world. It's pretty cool. I hear him behind me talking quite often.
Now, we have some people in our forums who are skeptical about such things. So how did you validate that this medium was actually in communication with David?
Well, one thing that she's actually, I've talked to probably three or four different mediums, and the fact that they say similar things, and one of them said, you know, I'm still a sloth. Well, David was kind of overweight and kind of pudgy and kind of slow moving. He used his brain more than he did his physical body. And I don't know how any of them would have known that he was a sloth. I mean, we teased him and called him a sloth all the time. and the fact that he, you know, he communicated the password. And I have an intern here who's learning to format books, and she couldn't figure out how to do it using a Quark Express. And she felt David behind her telling, use this master list, use this, and she did what she heard, and it worked. And those are a couple, his character seems to come through very clear who he was.
Now you've got to run the magazine yourself. How do you keep it going?
Well, I didn't for a while. For a year, I just kind of shut down. But I have some wonderful, wonderful interns here who are helping.
So you're in the process of kind of catching up to schedule and getting things
exactly.
Back on track, of course.
And things are just kind of falling into place. And I like to think I have some help from the other side, wherever it's coming from.
You know, I want to just say something here, a couple of things. First of all, I agree with Phyllis entirely that true mystic experiences and proof of survival are at the heart of the magazine, and they always have been. She's absolutely right about that. Second thing is that she referred to me as a skeptic. I don't think of myself as a skeptic. I was just describing the way that extraordinary phenomena come to us and what their characteristics are. I don't doubt at all that there are extraordinary phenomena. I've experienced them myself. It's just that I'm kind of agnostic about, you know, what exactly they are. I think that they are so far beyond the knowledge currently available to us that about all we can talk about when we talk about them is kind of to describe how they happened, what they're like, what their characteristics are. And I just think that we have to be cautious about conclusions, but there's no question that extraordinary phenomena occur all the time to all kinds of people. And I'm always open-minded, like when Phyllis talking about David. Now, I have great respect for Phyllis's opinion, and I listen to what she's saying, and she may very well be right about all of this. She knows a lot more about her and David and their life together and his personality than I will ever know.
Phyllis, let's go back to your childhood. You said you've experienced lots of unusual things throughout your life. Starting when? Can you give us an example or two?
Probably when I was about 5 years old.
Okay.
I slept in a little bedroom at our little old farmhouse off the living room, and every night I would wake up and I would see this image standing in the doorway. It scared the ever-loving crap out of me. I was just absolutely terrified because I was sure this white image was coming to hurt me or kill me or do something bad. So I would shut my eyes and jump out of bed and run in the other room and jump in bed with my mom and dad. I must have hated me having a little brat kid crawl in bed with them for their marital life. But anyway, I was, for years, I would see this image there. And then when I was, I don't know, 25 or something, I came back up home in North Dakota to visit the folks and I talking about my experiences in that room. And they said, oh yeah, your grandfather died in that room. And like, duh, if they would have told me that, I thought it was a mean creature, something that was really going to hurt me, but really it was probably just my grandfather. And then I got kind of interested in spiritualism, studied that for a little while, and went to a spiritualist camp and got to go to a seance. So then we got the bright idea to have a seance in our old family farmhouse because we pretty much felt the place was haunted. So we blacked out all the windows, hung blankets over them, and we had a good supply of beer, so we had some bottled courage and said a prayer and sat around this wooden table, and oh my gosh, we had some strange phenomena. My grandfather came through. My daughter was in college at the time, and we had all our hands on the table, fingertips to fingertips touching, so we formed a connection with all, and both my daughter and I felt my grandfather's hands on the top of our hands. like a calloused hand, and it was like pressure there. It was really a powerful feeling, and one of the girls was like almost pulled under the table by probably some less desirable entity, and I was able to speak with the energy of my my brother's mother-in-law, I guess my sister-in-law's mother. She had died of a, she had a stroke, and I was like, you know, groaning. I couldn't talk as I was, I guess, trying to speak through her vocal cords, and she wanted to tell her grandkids that she loved them. So we had lots, started out with ghosts in the old house, and it was a mark of courage if you had to sleep in the ghost room. I think there's some kind of a vortex or portal there, because pretty much everybody who slept in that room had really strange experiences.
Does that become sort of a game? I dare you to sleep in that room.
No, we wouldn't tell them about it sometimes. We would be innocent about it and tell them, you know, you get to sleep in the bedroom. And really, my nephew grew up in that house, and he didn't have a choice. He had to sleep in there, in that room. And I was, you know, not that much older. I had gone away to live someplace else. But anyway, Darren had to sleep in there, and he would cry all the time every night because there was something going on.
Oh, boy. We're going to do a break now and get back to more of this discussion with Jerome Clark and Phyllis Galdi about Fate Magazine and about their personal experiences, opinions, and more. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're talking about primarily Fate Magazine. We'll get into the state of paranormal research as we continue with Jerome Clark and Phyllis Galdi. So, these days, correct me if I'm wrong, we have Fate Magazine as a publication, but there aren't that many publications anymore that cover these subjects. There are blogs. Sometimes you see, like, Huffington Post has a UFO column every so often. But do you think you're part of a dying breed, Phyllis?
Well, I guess if Fate is meant to be, to continue on, we will have support and help to keep it going. So I'm willing to be there and help as long as it's viable and it's surviving. It seems like there's a little resurgence now.
Is it still available on a regular newsstand?
No. The newsstand is like throwing away several $1,000 an issue.
We should explain what this is all about, because unless you're a really big publisher with a big budget, small magazines cannot make it on the newsstand. That's been the case for a long time, where you basically had to send out thousands of magazines, be lucky if you sold 20 or 30% of them, and the rest, they didn't just ship them back to you. They sent back the covers or an affidavit to say, hey, we only sold 20% of what you sent us. Here's your payment, and the rest of the magazines were thrown out, sure.
Right. So it gets to be a huge loss every issue.
What I mean sure is that they end up at places that sell used books. You see these magazines, and you wonder, where did they get them from? And did the publisher of those magazines get paid for them?
No, you get ripped off. I used to buy comic books when I was growing up in North Dakota in the local drugstore, and they had the covers ripped off, so you got three for a dime or something. And, of course, they were returns that maybe somebody else had gotten paid for.
Here's kind of a disenchanted former reader. Let's just get his comment, and you can give me a response. His name is Dave M. He's been a member of the Paracast Forum since December of 2007, and he's going to continue until he gets it right. I'm kidding. He says, Phyllis, I am sorry to say I was a regular reader of Fate Magazine, but I became disenchanted with the magazine. The size of the magazine became smaller, and then my local Barnes & Noble dropped it completely. I lost interest after that. Do you really think a digital version will increase your readership? And before we go on, Phyllis just explained that it's no longer available from the newsstands.
Correct. It is not on the newsstands. Now, we are certainly we'll consider getting it back on the newsstands when we have caught up to our regular schedule. But we're running like several months behind on our issues.
And basically, so, with newsstands, what they do is they take off the magazine, they remove it from sale when it hits the cover date.
Right.
And if the cover date is 4 months ago, it never goes on the newsstand.
Exactly.
So what do you say to this person to get them interested again?
Well, I'd be happy to send them a free issue, or if they want to log on to our website, they can get a free e-issue and see if they like the content now. The content has always been faithfully interesting, but we just can't have it on the newsstand until we get caught up. And that's what our goal is this year, to get to become current again. And then we'll relook at the newsstand. But really, the best thing is to subscribe to the magazine. That's the majority of our readers. It's always been subscription-driven.
As you said, newsstands, it's very difficult. Here's one from Angelo. He's been a member of our forum since 2009, a former forum moderator. And Angelo is a skeptic. Okay? Going to get that out of the way. Both of you, Phyllis and Jerry, what's the most bizarre story you've ever printed that you believe can actually be true? Is there anything that was printed that you thought was the real thing that ended up being debunked? Well, Phyllis and Jerry, you both mentioned stuff that's been debunked. So is that question sort of answered there or what?
I think it's answered. I mean, you know, you try your best. And sometimes something will slip through the cracks, and then if you find out that you've been fooled, you let your readers know and you tell them why you were fooled, and you just be honest about it. I think that you have to be honest with your readers if you're going to keep your readers.
You have to say, look, we're imperfect, and we'll make mistakes, and work with us, and we'll do our best. Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
The word bizarre. What
you
do you think that's
a
really
story?
A bizarre story you think is really true?
Well, I don't know if this is provable, but one of the creepiest stories that I remember publishing was these two gentlemen, Caucasian, maybe from the United States, were up in Canada on their snowmobiles. And they met with some foul weather or disappeared or went over a snowbank, and they found the body. I think they found both snowmobiles. They found the one guy. The other guy, they never found his body. Only several months later, they found this creature. So it's like he had shape-shifted into something that, you know, he was naked, he was running around. Some entity had overtaken his body, and he was still able to function and move around, and several people had seen him, but he was like some bizarre, ghoulish creature. That kind of creeped me out. And the fact that there were witnesses who actually saw him on more than one occasion gives it some credibility.
That would creep me out, too. Jerry, what about you?
Oh, I couldn't answer that question. You know, I've read about a gazillion bizarre stories in my life, and they all kind of blur together. If I'm writing about them, I focus on them. But when I think about the questions that, you know, extraordinary experiences and reports raise, I'm really thinking more in broad theoretical terms these days. And I'm not focusing on specific instances. It's the patterns that interest me, because it's the patterns that eventually will, you know, elicit an answer. But in the meantime, just seeing what happens, incredible, extraordinary testimony, and what doesn't happen is what interests me. And I have developed this theoretical system, which I've talked on the show about before and written about, the difference between, event anomalies and experience anomalies. And that's what interests me. I just accept that people can have very, very strange experiences. It's a question of, you know, what do they mean? What do they represent? What can we learn and infer about them? And I just think that living in the world is probably a stranger experience than we realize. And the possibilities of experience are much broader than the narrow, consensus reality focus claims.
You know, it's very interesting. I'm just looking at a copy of Fate magazine here, and this is issued number 723, which is July-August 2013. And you look at the magazine, and you think how the magazine looked over the years. And you've got it to a point where, in many respects, it's the same as the magazine from the 1950s, which is really good.
Yes, it has a very retro look.
Mm-hmm. And you've kept that, I guess, avoided all the extra things going on. Do you get involved, though, much in the social networking, the Twitter, the Facebook, and that kind of thing?
I personally don't, but some of my helpers are very aware of all that. I do have another creepy story for you, too.
Another creepy story. We have about a minute before we break, but let's start the creepy story, and if we run out of time, we'll do the break and pick it up on the other end. Phyllis?
It's called Robert the Haunted Doll. Lives in Key West, Florida, and probably some people have heard of this doll.
All right.
But yeah, it's kind of like a cursed doll.
It sounds like there's a movie or two like that, isn't there? Like Chucky or something.
Chucky,
like that.
Yeah. This is probably the source for the Chucky movie.
Okay. Now that's something that I'm going to hold to the next segment. Let's learn about a living doll, an evil doll, about the source of the Chucky stories. Phyllis Galdi is the editor-in-chief and publisher of Fate magazine at fatemag.com if you want to check it out and look at a sample copy and maybe subscribe. Jerome Clark, UFO historian, formerly worked with Fate, and he still writes for them. Chris O'Brien is on special assignment. You're in
the Paracast.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze Dry Guy.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Freeze Dry Guy keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you'd like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.